The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Okay, so today is a little bit of a unique service, and not just because the pastors are gone. They know exactly what we're doing, and they're totally cool with it. But we are going to dismiss early so that we can take part in the Connexpo before we get the hangries for lunch and to try to beat the Vikings game. So I just want to talk about, as some of you know, my husband, Jay Bryan, and I are the family life pastors here, which means that we do some of the marriage coaching and marriage enrichment here, but it also means that we help the church be a family through overseeing the small group ministry. And so our small groups here, we call them connect groups, which is why we have the Connexpo. Isn't that fun? And really fun branding. But I just want to talk about, there's a scripture that's been on my heart, and I shared this a little bit with, we had two new groups that started this last year that came out of the Cornerstone class, last year's Cornerstone class, which is being offered again, and I can highly recommend that because it's really going to embody what I'm talking about today. But what I had seen was this verse in Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And so it's talking about, obviously, this concept of the commanded blessing that there is when we dwell together in unity. And one of the things that we talk about as it relates to our connect groups is it gives us an opportunity to truly dwell together in unity, not just to visit unity on a Sunday morning or not just to visit unity occasionally, but to really be in one another's lives, for our lives to be touching outside of this building. And that's one of the things that we have a passion for. To dwell there means to really live in, to remain in, to abide in. That this is a calling on the body of Christ, that we would know how to live in the place of unity. And in this case, we're talking about unity as a oneness of culture and vision and purpose. It's a oneness of action, place, or time. And so, you know, this is an important concept. Probably almost any time that I've come up to speak, you've heard me talk about oneness. You've heard me talk about that love is the thing that we need to be pouring into as a body. That relationship, obviously, Brian and I are marriage and relationship facilitators. And so relationship is a very important thing to us, not just because we want everybody to be friends and get along, but because there is a commanded blessing that comes on the body when we know how to be really good at relationship, when we know how to be in unity. And so I'm passionate about that. I remember when I read John 17 for the probably, I don't know, 30th time. But when there was this revelation to me that it is our ability as the body of Christ to demonstrate unity that is going to let the world know that Jesus is who he really said he was. That signs, wonders, and miracles is the thing that should be following us. That is the thing that should be the mark of our lives. But that ultimately, our ability to operate in unity along with that is what's going to demonstrate who Jesus is. How many of you know that unity is an uncommon thing right now? When we look at what's going on, at first, in this last couple years where it just seems like there's so much dissension happening in so many different areas, I started to feel this sort of fear, like, this is terrible, until I realized that it's the church's opportunity to shine. It's the church's opportunity to dwell in unity and for people to say, behold, look how good and how pleasant it is. So That's what we're about. That's a part of who we are. And, you know, when we look at this verse, you know, unity is important, and we see the benefits of it. It says it's good. Meh. Okay. It says it's pleasant. Okay. It says that it brings commanded blessings. Getting a little warmer for me. And life forevermore, which is awesome. But there is one benefit that I feel like we overlook, and that's this piece in verse 2 that says when people come together in unity, it is like a precious oil poured upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of the garment. This is the piece that's captured my heart. There is an anointing on unity. And so when wherever there is unity, wherever there's a married couple who knows how to do oneness, wherever there's a church in unity or a work group in unity or a team or a family or a small group, what is on the head runs all the way down to the edge. And that's what I'm excited about as it relates to our connection. There is an anointing on this body for some specific things. There is an anointing on this body that has been ushered in by the head. It's been ushered in by this foundation that's been built here. But when we come together in unity under those principles, what is on the head runs all the way down to the edge. There's an anointing. Do you understand? There's an anointing that functions here in this place. But when we come in unity under those principles and under that faith, that runs all the way to your house. In my family, when my husband and I are in unity together, the anointing that we carry runs all the way down my family line. It runs all the way to the edge. That when we're in unity around principles of love and freedom and purpose and destiny, that our kids receive that same anointing when they come under unity with that. So we know that a mark of unity, because here, let me go back really quick. We understand that that precious oil is talking about anointing. When it talks about running down the beard of Aaron, it's because when Aaron was anointed priest, they poured oil over the top of him, just covered him, baptized him in anointing. And that's what's happening to the body of Christ. What is on the head belongs to the edge, to the outer edge of the church. And it matters because we need the whole body to be anointed. We don't just need the leaders to be anointed. We don't just need the platform ministry to be anointed. We don't just need that one guy who's got that gift to be anointed. We need the entire body to be anointed. We need the oil to run all the way to the edge. And if we would can take it a step further, you know, I'm talking about the head being, you know, the leadership or whatever, but what do we know about the head of the body? It's Christ, right? And so we know that when we come in unity under the principle is that the anointing that is on the head runs all the way down. Amen. There's another story in the Bible that talks about anointing that ran all the way to the edge of the garment. And that's the woman with the issue of blood. She couldn't touch the head. She couldn't get to the head. There were circumstances in her life that kept her from being able to touch the head. But thank God that the entire body of Christ was anointed. Because she just touched the edge and she was healed. And that's what we're talking about. It's a picture. It's a prophetic picture that the entire body of Christ is anointed so that when somebody touches the edge, they're going to get healed. They're going to get the word that they need from the Lord. They're going to feel the love through what's on the edge. That's what's important to us about our connect groups and our groups that are operating outside of what's happening on a Sunday morning service. We just saw our kids, and what is true is that the oil is flowing all the way to the edge. that they pray for healing and they have prophetic words and they are learning how to love and operate in freedom and to love well, because what's on the head runs to the edge. We need the whole body to be anointed, because most people will never touch the head. Most people will not even come in this room. And one of the things Brian and I have been looking at recently, because I think it came out of a "what is wrong with the world right now" question, and God met us there even though we're having a bad attitude. And but you know, as we were thinking about that and asking that question, one of the things that came to mind for Jay Bryan was, you know, on our street there are two garages that open up on a Sunday morning and go to church, or any day for that matter. And so one of the things that we talked about is the number, the percentage of people that actually are connected to the head is less than it's ever been. The statistics say that 17.7% of people regularly attend church. And I'm not sure what regularly was, but I'm sorry, 17.7% of people on any given Sunday are in church. 25% of people, 23 to 25, attend 3 out of 8 Sundays. So a lot of people will never touch the head. But there's oil on the edge. There's oil in our workplaces. There's oil in our homes. And I believe more and more we're going to be seeing connect groups, or whatever they end up being called, all over the place, where people are allowed to encounter Christ through the oil that's on the edge. We see the Lord move in our connect groups the same way that we see him move on a Sunday morning service. And that's one of the key principles that we have at Living Waters, is equipping the body to do the work of the ministry, because they are anointed when they come under unity of what that purpose is. It's an interesting thing, because we need to recognize, we've talked before, that the enemy attacks unity because it's so powerful. That's why it's difficult to stay in unity. That's why people wander from church to church, because unity can be hard, because it's difficult to love well. It's difficult to stay committed in those relationships. It's difficult to love well in a marriage relationship. And the enemy comes against that unity, and it's not just because he's trying to foul up friendships. Like, he really doesn't care if you go out to coffee with that person or not so much. It's not about, I just don't want people to have good friendships, or it's that he's trying to stop the flow of anointing that comes through unity. And so we want to take that seriously. We want to be good at that, because the connection between unity and anointing is huge. There is an entire world that is waiting to touch the fringes of the garment. That whether we know it or not, there's going to be something that they see that they want to touch where we're at on the edge. And we want that oil to be running all the way to the edge. Sometimes people say, well, I need to, not here so much, but in some churches, well, I need to meet with the pastor, and it has to be the pastor, or I only need this person to pray for me. And sometimes that's because they've touched the edge and there was no oil there. That isn't the case here. We are an oily congregation. We know, you know, there's an oil that's in us, and there's an oil that's on us. And one thing that you all are good at is maintaining the oil in you and that personal connection with the Lord, and maintaining the oil that comes on you when you step into unity, into the anointing of what Christ is doing through the church. So, if we can be united, we can be anointed. So one aspect of that, I think we just touched on it briefly, was the whole aspect of commitment. Unity does not look like that we sound alike, that we look alike, and that we think all the same things. Unity looks like being committed to one another despite the differences in how we view things. And so there's a huge aspect, I believe, to some degree, the church overall is missing out on unity because there's just so many options. If I don't like what's happening here, I just go find another place. If I don't like what's happening in this relationship, I just leave it. And I don't think anyone really takes it that lightly, but to some degree, there's so many different places we can go that commitment is not something that people have learned to stay connected to. And part of it is, you know, Brian and I talk all the time about how different we are. And what the school that the Lord has had us in is, how do we stay in unity despite those differences? We talked about, we attended, not taught, a marriage conference on Friday. And one of the things that they talked about there was values. And, you know, if when my values don't line up with your values, what common value do we stay committed to? Because sometimes, for example, one of my very high values is getting things done right and really well. But one of Brian's values is actually getting things done. So this is a place of disunity for us frequently because, you know, we're going to do a thing. We agree we want to do the thing. But the thing actually has to get done. But wait. We have to do it right and with excellence, and it has to be really good. And so one of the things that we were able to say, you know, we're committed to our connection more than we're committed to our two, you know. And so it's not even necessarily about compromise. It's, okay, how do we and still stay connected? And do you know, if we can't do the thing and still stay connected, we don't do the thing. Because we know that our anointing comes out of unity, not out of strong man wins in that argument. So it's an important thing that we understand the concept of what are we committed to. That unity isn't about, I agree with everything you say. It's that I'm committed to our connection. I'm committed to a common culture, that we have similar values in some things. I'm committed to a vision and a purpose with you. That's one aspect of unity. So, what do we unite around? This is an important piece because we unite around the wrong things sometimes. So, one of the things is we unite around the future, not the past. We unite around where we're going together, not where we've been. And this is something that we saw, again, we read a lot of articles. One article we saw was going, well, here's what's wrong with these days. What's wrong with the church these days is that we're not using the organ anymore, and we've gotten rid of this, and now our music is so loud. And, you know, and if we just went back to how it was, everything would be okay with the church. And so it's an interesting thing because I wondered if they realized that at one point the organ was the new thing in the church, or that meeting in a building was the new thing in the church. You know, so if we are reuniting around our past, not our future, that's a difficult thing. We need to build around where we're going, not where we came from. And so even for me, I've been part of this church since it started, and as I've stepped into more aspects of leadership and just kind of had vision for some different things with the small groups, one of the fears for me was like, I don't want to mess with what's been before. I don't want to mess with where things have been at. And yet there's an aspect of needing to unite around where we're going, that there's a vision that the Lord's put before us. That's the coolest thing about serving a God who's eternal, is that he's always looking at the future. There's no end to the moving forward piece. He's eternal. There's not like, then we get there and it'll stop. So that's a cool thing about his character, that he causes us to unite around where we're going. He's always pointing to the future and where he's taking us. He is steadfast. He is unchanging. There are principles that are unchanging. We're going to talk about the difference between principles and preferences. But that's where he's pointing us, is towards the future. And we unite around that. Married couples, when you're going through a struggle, when you've been through a struggle, one of the things that we face when we coach couples is if they can't stop uniting around the past and where they've been and how they've hurt each other and how they've treated one another and how they interact, it's very difficult to bring the anointing of unity into their lives. But if they can unite around where they're going as a couple, this is how we're going to talk to one another now. This is how we're going to act. This is how we're going to come together and be a team. This is how we're going to invite God into this relationship. And the same is true in our families and in our friendships. We need to unite around where we're going. So the other piece is that we need to unite around principles, not preferences. Society is really good at making preferences out of principles. Think about that. There's godly principles that society is saying, no, that's a preference. And I don't prefer that. I prefer this. But they're making, they're the things that really truly are principles, they're making into preferences. What the church is historically good at is taking preferences and making them principles. That I prefer this kind of worship. I prefer that we pray like this. I prefer that service starts at this time. I prefer. And that's going to become a principle, a dogma, a doctrine in how I operate in my Christian life. And so what's important is that we unite around principles. That's why it is awesome that every single one of our small groups looks completely different. Some of them have food, some of them don't. Some of them share communion, some of them have kids, some of them don't. Some of them do worship, some of them don't. But all of them are united around the principles of the Word of God. They're united around the principles of how the body of Christ should treat one another. They're united around the principles that are preached on a Sunday morning about who God is and who he is in us and the access that we have to his love and his power and his grace. They're united around those principles. And finally, we need to unite around relationships, not roles. Because roles change. And if we get all bent out of shape when roles change, then we lose the balance of our unity. One area that I see this happening in families, if we on roles, we get stuck. One is 17 and he's in his senior year right now, although he's in full-time college. He's in his senior year of high school, but he's doing PSEO. And my role and his role is changing as he gets older. And if I want to unite around his role, which is, or even my role in his life used to be really hands-on. I used to tell him when he could eat and when he could go to bed. And his role was to listen to those things. But that role is changing. But we can still, there's still a commanded blessing on his life because we're united around relationship. And the roles, when we reunite around relationship, the roles we play in one another's lives can change and be fluid, and we still have unity. In our household right now, I took on a job to cover some bases for the job that my mom had. And so the roles in our household changed a little bit. Who's doing what? And my husband's amazing and is doing everything. Well, not really, but close. And Olivia is taking up extra slack. So So our roles are changing, but our relationship is what we reunite around. So even though I'm not doing the dishes or most of the laundry or a lot of the cleaning right now, which was my role, they still love me. And we still have a unity together as a family. And I promise I'll come back to the dishes and the laundry and the cleaning. So in our connect groups, we unite around where we're going. We unite around principles, not preferences, and we unite around relationship. Pastor Dave has said from the pulpit several times, relationship trumps position every time. And so there's a place that, as it relates to the oil flowing to the edge, there's a place that in our small groups and in our ministries that are operating together as groups, that they're able to give something to one another that the pulpit minister couldn't give to them, because that relationship is what they're unified around. There's an anointing that flows in that. I really believe that at Living Waters, we have an uncommon unity, that it is something that is sewn into our fabric. I've seen it, from afar growing up and a little bit closer as an adult in the way that our elders and our leadership team works together. There is an uncommon unity that is part of the head, or the head, based on however we look at our inverted pyramid there, that is flowing to the edges of your lives as well. And we see it in operation in the connect groups. So, as we go to the Connexpo, I just want to cast the vision. One of the reasons we do that is because of this very verse. It starts out, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is." And for me, the Connexpo is, behold means look, see this. And that's what the Connexpo is for me. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. The way that people are dwelling together in unity. The way that these groups, these connect groups, and these ministries are dwelling together in unity. Look at the anointing that is flowing to the edge. Look at what's happening there. So it's an opportunity to look. It's also an invitation. If you're not plugged in, it's an invitation to step into that. Step into the flow of the anointing by coming into unity under where we're going, what our principles are, and the relationships that we have. So this is an opportunity for you to behold and to eat mini donuts. Because we call this, see if you catch this, the Great Living Waters Church get-together. That's why we have State Fair mini donuts. I just wanted to point that out, that it's all part of the prophetic picture. This is the Great Living Waters Church get-together, which just so conveniently follows right after the State Fair. It's wonderful. And so it's an opportunity for you to see, to behold the oil running down to the edge. So I'm going to pray 3-second prayer, and then Brian's going to come up. So Lord, we thank you that there is an anointing that runs from the head all the way to the edges. And Lord, we trust you that you are establishing those outposts for people to receive anointing, to touch the hem of your garment. We thank you that the entire body here is anointed under Jesus Christ, and that because of that, we get to carry the anointing that you had. So Lord, make us diligent in stepping into unity together as families, as married couples, as members of the body, in our workplaces. We just thank you for uncommon unity. In Jesus' name, amen.